The first reading today is we hear the third of the suffering servant songs from Isaiah. We hear about the servant of the Lord who has a well-trained tongue, who speaks what God asks him to speak. He says, I have not rebelled and have not turned back. So far, so good. But then it goes on and says, I gave my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. In other words, speak the truth, pay the price. It's a whole lot easier to compromise. It's a whole lot easier to water it down. It's a whole lot easier to not want to upset the apple cart. And so we tend to water things down. We tend to find a way of trying to say what people want to hear rather than speaking the truth of God, because we don't want to be rejected, because we want to be popular, because we want to fit in, because we want to be liked, whatever the reason. Jesus didn't do that. He spoke the truth, and we know what happened. And so we could look at that on one hand and say, well, if he would have just cooled the jets, if he wouldn't have spoken the way that he did, they wouldn't have treated him that way. True enough, they wouldn't. And we wouldn't be saved either. Do you think we would have been saved by somebody who was going to compromise? Oh, but he spoke so nicely, and he said just what I want to hear. You know what? He still doesn't do that. If you've gone to prayer, and he's going to look at you and say, what about this sin? Let's get rid of it. He's not telling us what we want to hear. He's not compromising with us. He's not saying, oh, well, it's okay for you to sin because we understand. No, he's merciful. He will forgive our sins, but he's never, ever, ever going to say it's okay that we do that. He wouldn't compromise 2,000 years ago, and he's not going to now. And we have to be the same way. We don't have to be obnoxious. We don't have to try and irritate people. But the fact is, the truth is going to irritate some people, and they don't want to hear it. And I think if we look at what happened in the gospel, it's exactly what we see. Judas is getting a little uncomfortable. Jesus actually went so far as to say, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Judas couldn't handle that. Read the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel, and right there you're going to see why Judas betrayed Jesus. It's right there. He couldn't accept the Eucharist. And neither could the majority of the others. It says they walked away from they walked with him no more. They could not accept the truth. Nothing has changed. 75% of people who call themselves Catholics say that they don't believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. So should we water it down? Should we say, oh, come on, don't take that so seriously. It's just symbolic. He didn't really mean that. Yeah, he did. To the point where he looked at them all and said, you guys want to leave me too? So Judas couldn't deal with that. But then now there are other things that we can all look at. It's usually the moral teachings that cause people problems, not necessarily the doctrinal ones. There are some doctrinal issues that are problematic. Right now, there was a study that just came out a week or two ago You know how many people who call themselves Catholic believe in the Holy Trinity? 9%. Nine. 1 out of 10 who call themselves Catholic believe in the Trinity. Should we be surprised then that people don't believe in the Holy Eucharist? So yeah, there are some dogmatic things that people are having problems with, but it's usually the moral teachings. And so we find ways of watering it down, coming up with goofball ideas like, oh, just follow your conscience and do what you want to do. Oh yeah, the church is in the Middle Ages. We need to get into the 21st century. I mean, we've got every excuse in the book to be able to try and say you don't have to believe this. Just fill in the blank. What is it? Abortion? Contraception? Euthanasia? In vitro fertilization? Whatever it is, go ahead, fill it in. There are all kinds of things that people want to say, oh, I'm Catholic, but. In other words, I'm not going to speak the truth. I'm not going to believe what God wants me to believe, and I'm going to rebel, and I'm going to turn back, and I am not going to give my face to those who pluck my beard and my back to those who beat me, because I don't want to deal with the fallout of the truth. We can't do that. Because, again, listen to what the Lord has to say about his servant. He says, the Lord God is my help, therefore I'm not disgraced. I set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. So we look at what we're going to be celebrating here in the next couple of days. What happened to Jesus was absolutely disgraceful and absolutely shameful. Was he disgraced? No. Was he put to shame? No. The people who did it to him, they're the ones who were disgraced and shamed. But not him. They will try to heap it on him. They will try to say that it's his fault. Just like Judas, he's going to sit back and say, oh, he's getting kind of crazy. He's telling people they have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. I mean, who could put up with this? This is hard to listen to. And now 2,000 years later, the church is saying different things, and people are saying, oh, no, this is hard to listen to. We got something better. Science has invented some more things to make our lives so much better that it's just resulting in 55% of marriages ending in divorce because it's made everything so much better. Isn't it great? Church is in the Middle Ages and doesn't have a clue. No, the church needs to stand for the truth, and she's going to be rejected, and she's going to be beat, and she's going to have to go through all of these things. She is not disgraced. She is not put to shame. However, if those of us in the church decide to water things down, come up with idiotic things like what Cardinal Fernandez came up with a couple weeks ago. Well, making little boys into little girls or vice versa. Well, in extreme cases, it's okay. It's like, no, it is not. And show me one of these people who doesn't think that their case is extreme. And may I remind you back in 1930 that when the Anglicans got together, remember, every single Christian denomination, everyone absolutely condemned contraception. Everyone, even the Protestants from Martin Luther on until 1930. At the Lambeth Conference, the Lutherans got together and they said, well, in extreme cases, contraception is okay. If it's okay for one, it's okay for everybody else. And where are we at now? It's the norm. Because in extreme cases, it might be okay. The truth has been sold out. We have to stand for the truth. Because when we do things like this, we are disgraced. We are shameful. We have to speak the truth. People don't want to hear it. Oh well. Then we need to give our backs to those who are going to beat us. It's the way it's going to be. So we have to ask ourselves really seriously, are we going to stand with Jesus? Are we going to stand against him? It's real easy to give him lip service. But it's not so easy to go to the cross with him. So in the next couple of days, liturgically, that's what we're doing. But as I told you, we're not being asked to keep that at an arm's distance. We're being asked to do this with Jesus. So look at that in reality. Look at what the church teaches. Not what all these people are doing and watering it down and doing all this stuff. Look at the truth and ask yourself, am I willing to be the servant of God? Am I willing to uphold the truth, to give my back to those who beat me, to go to the cross with Jesus, to suffer with him, to die with him if that's what I have to do? Because that's what we're being asked. And that's what every one of us is going to have to answer.